John chapter number 10, and I want to read verses 9 and 10. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. You can be seated again this morning. Now turn to Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. That's not a hard book to find, I'm sure. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Praise our God. Now, in John chapter number 10, we find Jesus Christ bringing forth the reality of what God has done and what God is doing for mankind. Also, the knowledge of the fact that we have an enemy and he doesn't play fair. He's a thief. A thief. I don't know what you think of when you think of a thief. That is one of the things that really, really irritates me. When someone just comes and takes something because they don't want to put forth the effort to have it themselves. So they come and take yours. That just really is one of the things. I mean, it's just like, you know, pop cans sitting down in our building, just waiting to be cashed in for the church, and a thief comes and just loads them all up, along with any loose electrical wire they can find, anything that'll make a quick dollar, for whatever reason they may have. The thief always comes in darkness. The thief always comes when you're not aware of what's going on. The thief comes when they think that you have confidence that nobody will be a thief. Yeah. And so we see then the thief is the enemy of our soul. And what I want to preach on this morning is life. Life. Amen. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And not just have it, but there's going to be an abundant supply of the life that God gives. Now in Genesis chapter 2, we find that God created you and I. God created man. And created him out of the dust of the ground. Now that ought to humble us just a little bit. The reality that we're just dirt. We're just earth. We were created out of dirt. That means we're nothing without the life of God. We're nothing without the life that God breathed into man. God created man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And now I want you to understand, he became a living soul. Amen. A living soul. So our key emphasis on these words here is God created mankind, breathed life into him. And when that life that he breathed into him worked its work, he became a living soul, not a dead soul, a living soul. And he began to walk with God, and he began to talk with God, and he began to fellowship with God. And if you will, here this morning, when man was created, he was created with a God consciousness. Every thought on his mind was about God. Every thought on his mind was about God's creation, what God had done, how they had communed with God, how they had talked with God. Everything about Adam and Eve's life at this creation point, they were God conscious and God conscious alone. Amen. That means everything. I want you to get a hold of this. Everything they thought about was God. Hallelujah. That song they just sang this morning about thinking on everything right and thinking on everything pure, thinking on everything whole. That's how Adam and Eve were created. Hallelujah. That's how they thought when they walked the face of this earth and when they walked in the Garden of Eden. Their thoughts were all about God and what God had done and how God had blessed them and how God was sustaining them and how God was helping them. Are you getting the picture? God consciousness. Hallelujah. And so we see that's what life is. That's what Christ came into this world to bring back to mankind. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want to set the groundwork here of where we're going this morning about this life that God has brought to us. And this is why it can become an abundant life, not just a sustained life. Come on, hallelujah. Oh my. And so we see then, we find that they were created with a God consciousness, but then we find in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So here we find life and death right in the book of Genesis in the beginning. All through the scripture, you find God talking to his people at different places and different times. I don't have just the references here for this morning, but yet you will find it everywhere. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Amen. We've got a choice. Choose life. Hallelujah. And so that's all through the scriptures. It's choose life. The only reason that's all through scriptures is because in Genesis we find that death came. And so now we have to choose life. Man was born with life, but he died. So we know from reading the scriptures in the book of Genesis, we know that that death was not a physical death. It was a spiritual death. What happened? They lost their single-mindedness, and they found double-mindedness. And we know what the Bible says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, so we're seeing here that when man fell into sin, sin brought double-mindedness. Sin brought a self-consciousness, a deification of self. No longer now were they just worshiping God. Now they were having to deal with what they wanted, what they thought, how they thought it ought to be. Are you seeing the problem now? This is what sin brought to mankind. It brought him a self-consciousness and having to deal with disobedience to God. You see, I don't know how you think about the fall of man, but it wasn't the fact that there was some type of poison in the fruit he ate that brought that death. It was the fact that they chose to disobey God that brought that death. That's why the thief, that serpent, did exactly what he did. Because he had to bring them to a place where they would choose to disobey God. You see, that's what your enemy always does to you. That's what my enemy always does to me. He always comes. See, he's a thief. He doesn't come when I'm strong. The thief doesn't come when you're standing by the door where they want to rob something. They wait until you're not ready for them to arrive. The enemy of your soul doesn't come to attack you when you're strong, when you're ready, when you're up on God consciousness, when you're walking with God in his fullness, and you're walking with God in his power. That's not when he comes. He comes in a time when you're not ready. When you're not God conscious, but you've allowed your consciousness to begin to go places it doesn't need to go. And that's when he comes and starts firing those fiery darts right towards our minds. Hallelujah. And trying to get us full of self-consciousness and self-will and self-desire. And what's he going to do? Well, he's out to destroy us. You see, we read there in John chapter number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal. What does he come to steal? Is he going to steal from you this morning? Hopefully nothing. Hopefully you're God conscious this morning. Hopefully you're full of the Holy Ghost this morning. Hopefully you're walking in the Spirit this morning. Hopefully you've been found in the Spirit on the Lord's day this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. So hopefully he's not going to steal anything from you, but yet, as you read God's word, you find that many times, right in the midst of the sowing of the seed, how the fowls of the air came and just stole it away. What is that? People don't pay a bit of attention to what God's speaking because they already have their mind frame set. And the enemy just comes, steals the word of God away because we don't think we need it. Woo! I hope you came to the house of God in desperate need this morning. Hallelujah. Because if you didn't, something ain't right. Hallelujah. Because I've got to have a desperate sense of need for my God and his strength and his word and his power, or I am going to be defeated by the enemy and he's going to come and steal from me all the time. Woo, my, the thief cometh to steal. In Genesis 3 and 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What did the enemy steal? From Eve and from Adam, that terrible day. Number one, he stole truth. He stole truth from them. He began to bring doubt on what God had said. Do you know that the world wants to steal truth from you? Wow. Yeah, he wants to steal the truth. Because see, if you don't believe there's a truth, then he's got you. He's got you, because if there's no truth, he also stole faith that day. He stole their faith in God, because truth and faith are coupled together, and he also stole their victory. See, victory, what is victory? That victory is that oneness with God. Victory is that walking with God. Victory is God's way is my way. Hallelujah. That's victory. Hallelujah. I mean, that is a mental decision. It's a choice. God's way is my way. You will walk in victory. Amen. But if your way is not God's way, then you automatically are walking in defeat. You are dying. And so we see then the thief came that day. And this is what the thief comes to do in your life and my life. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you're from, what family you belong to. It really doesn't make any difference, because a thief doesn't care who he steals from. If he sees opportunity to steal truth from you, he will take it. I mean, if he sees opportunity to bring doubt, fear, and unbelief into your life, he will take it. And he knows by doing that, you will not be walking in the victory that Jesus Christ has provided for you. You see, that's the thing. God has provided victory for me. He has provided truth for me. He has provided, believe it or not, faith for me. Hallelujah. The Bible says he's given unto every man a measure of faith. He has provided everything I need. Did he not provide everything Adam and Eve needed to walk with God? He gave them a garden. He gave them all the food of the garden. They could eat of every tree but one. They only had one command to follow. Just one. They didn't have 10. They had one. They didn't have all the law and the statute. They had one command to follow. But the thief came. And the thief began to work, and he began to steal. He began to pull away that truth, that faith, and thus they lost their walk with God. The thief comes to kill. Well, we know what died that day. Genesis 3 and 7, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And I want to throw this in here, because man's ways are not God's ways. I mean, this is why we believe in covering our bodies. Because as you read that story, Adam and Eve, when they became self-conscious, they made aprons. But when God came on the scene and God began to provide for them, now in a new way, in a different way, he made coats. Does anybody know the difference between an apron and a coat? I'm just going to leave that one there because I think everybody's knowledgeable the difference between an apron and a coat. That lets me know how God wants me to dress. Hallelujah, right here in the book of Genesis. Now that I'm self-conscious, now that I deal with the sin nature, hallelujah, he's got a way that I need to walk in. Hallelujah. But they died that day. He came to kill. He came that their life would be gone. And death would begin to rule and reign. As you read scripture, you find that death ruled from Adam to Christ. Yeah, they lost that walk with God. Except you find just a few individuals here and there. But on a whole, all humanity didn't walk with God. That's what Adam and Eve brought in. That's what the thief came to do. He came to snuff out that life that was in them. Self-consciousness became the dominant instead of God consciousness. They went from that living soul to death. No longer now were they in oneness with God. Now they just knew God afar off. See, you can know God afar off. But that's not what God's after, and that's not life. That's misery is what that is. To know God afar off is a miserable place to be. Amen. That's kind of like the story that was shared about the gentleman that went to the doctor this morning in Sunday school. To the fact that, you know, there's no physical problem with you. What your problem must be then, you've done something wrong or you're feeling guilty about something. What is that? Well, that was evidently he knew better than to do what he did, huh? Wow. There's that exercise of that self-will. He chose to defraud his brother. In other words, steal from him. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the father of all lies. That's the father of all thieves. To steal from your very friend. Oh, I'm glad he couldn't live with himself. I'm glad it was making him sick. Wow. That also reminds me of the time an individual wanted delivered from cigarettes and just couldn't get over him, couldn't turn him loose, couldn't put him down. And so finally somebody said, all right, well, I'm going to pray for you that every time you stick one to your mouth, you'll get sick as can be. God answers prayer. They quit smoking. Every time they stuck one to their mouth, they got as sickly, deathly sick as they could be. Wow. There's a new insight to pray for somebody's victory. Hello. Praise God. Woo. Oh, look out now. Amen. Yeah. They can't overcome. Well, then let's pray. They'll get sicker than a dog when they start getting tempted. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, ain't nobody likes to be sick. Mm-mm, not at all. You see, there are ways God can move. You know, those are some of those mysterious ways to help me overcome. I mean, you know, he did that for me too. Amen. Back in yonder year, after I got saved, doing pretty good, laid down that smokeless tobacco, except for one day. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, God said, get rid of it. And I was driving down the road, I threw it out the window. Just get rid of it. No, Lord, I will. Doing great, doing wonderful. But of course, my brothers weren't saved. So theirs was still on the dash of their vehicles. And so I happened to get in one of their vehicles one day, doing something on the farm, and there it sat. That can. Oh. Those flashbacks. Oh, man, it was just right after lunch. Now, if you've never done smokeless tobacco, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Thank God you don't. But that's when you wanted it. Sure enough, stuck her right in that lip. Went and sat down in the sun. You know, just it was just one of those afternoons like it was yesterday. I just went, it was after lunch, I just went and sat down. You know, that was nap time. You took about a 10-minute nap after lunch every day. You did. That's just what we did on the farm. And there I sat in the sun thinking I was enjoying myself, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. My gills were turning green. And I got sick. I mean, I pulled that out of my lip. I was sick. Sick. And I realized at that moment that God had delivered me from that. I hadn't had a problem with that for months. And God had delivered me when I just threw it right out the window. But the minute I took it and I got sick, I knew immediately. And there was that asking for forgiveness. Because I realized that I had made a wrong choice. And I didn't need that. Didn't need it at all. I just wanted it. And he showed me real quick, sometimes you don't want what you think you want. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to throw this in here this morning. If you're having difficulties with an area of your life, ask God to make you sick as sick can be if you start doing that. And he will. And you'll be victorious. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. They went from life to death because of the choice they made to listen to the enemy as he came and began to steal their truth, their faith, and their victory. It brought death. It will do the same thing for you and me. When the enemy starts coming and telling us, oh, it won't be that bad, it's not that big a deal, any thought like that that comes to your mind, you need to know and understand that is the tactic of the enemy. To get you defeated and not walking in the victory that Christ has provided. When you have the thought it's not that big a deal, my friend, it's the biggest deal in your entire life that needs a victory over. Hello. Praise God. I mean, that's just, because what is that? That is you making excuse for your disobedience. It's not that big. If it's not that big a deal, why are you doing it? Because if it's not a big deal, lay it down. Quit. Hello. See, what you're telling me when you say it's not that big a deal, it's the big deal in your life that you need the victory over. And the victory has been provided. Woo, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. Okay, so now we see what's happening here. He came to steal. He got the job done. What did it do? It brought death. And what does death do? It destroys. It destroys. In Genesis 3 and 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree of the tree, and I did eat. And then the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The road to destruction. Self-preservation. The road to destruction. Always blaming someone else for what you have done is destruction. If I confess, he is just and faithful to forgive. But what death brings is destruction, because I won't confess, I'll blame. I'll blame someone else for my disobedience. I'll blame someone else. I'll blame something else. But I will not take the blame. That's destruction. You see, it's self-preservation instead of self-denial. And you see, that's what death brings. It brings destruction because it brings the deification of self, that everybody else is wrong. I'm the only one right. Everyone else is doing me wrong, but I'm always doing the right thing. If you ever have that thought in your mind that you're always doing the right thing, that is not a right thought. Woo, hello, praise God. But honestly, it's there. It's there because of the sin nature. You see, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Before sin came in, before there was the stealing away of their truth, their faith, and their victory, before death had entered in, that spiritual death, that self-consciousness became dominant, before that, they loved one another, they were kind to one another, they got along just fine. But the moment self came in the picture, have you ever heard this? Every man for himself. What if that would have been Jesus Christ's attitude towards you? Every man for himself. You take care of your own sin. You take care of your own problems. I'm just taking care of me. Not Christianity. That's not Christ. What is that? That's death. That's death. When you can't find yourself being concerned about someone that's lost because of something they've done towards you, oh, what is that? It ain't life. It's destruction. It's self-preservation. And see, that's what's got to go. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Above and beyond measure. Amen. Grabbing a hold of those Beatitudes in Matthew 5, going that extra mile. Hey, offering up that cheek for another buffet on the cheek. What is that? That is self-denial. That, what is that? That's God consciousness of what Christ took for me. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Are we getting the picture? I'm hoping I'm painting the picture this morning of the life that Jesus Christ is wanting to bring to you and I, has provided for you and I, but it's within our grips because it's within our to choose life. You see, everything has a choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. It's always in our choice. So now we discussed and we have seen what the thief can do, what the thief has done. But now let's look at Jesus. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Hallelujah. And for in John 1, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What do we find being restored? What do we find coming back to man? What do we find coming back to this world? Hallelujah. Jesus came with grace and truth. He had to come with both, church. Because had he not come with grace, then truth would have demanded our destruction. So he came with grace and he came with truth. He came with the message of the reality, I have come so you can have truth again. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. So we find that Jesus Christ, he's the door. He's the one wherein a man can enter in and be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of times we wonder, well, what does that mean, in and out? Does that mean, you know, saved one day, backslid the next day? Say, No. That's not what that means. That means full provision. Full provision, no matter where you go, no matter where you're at, he will be there and he will take care of you. You can go in and you can go out. In other words, you can live your life and always find the pasture that you need or the strength or the nourishment that you need to walk with him. Hallelujah. Wait, praise our God. See, this is something that the Lord has just really been rolling over and over and over in my heart and in my soul of what He has done for mankind and the gospel that He has brought and the salvation that He has wrought. And yet, nobody seems to want to take full advantage of what Christ provides. Oh. I mean, if you were hungry and you had the choice, on your left was set a plate with 5 brown beans on it. And on the right was set a Kansas City strip steak, garnished, and this may turn some off, garnished with a blue cheese sauce, cooked with a small pinkness in the middle, and a large, now let's just take it to a medium baked potato, with butter, with butter, sour cream. Wow. And your favorite vegetable sitting beside that. And then you were presented, it's your choice. Which plate would you desire? There might be a few who are vegetarians and they have to choose the beans. But you know, just as well as I do know, which plate would you take if you had the choice? I would take the steak. How about you? Now let's present it before you. On the left side, you have death. And on the right side, you have life. How come we choose death so many times over life when it's far, far better than death and destruction? It's because we don't really like that. And that's the enemy of our soul. He gets us to desensitizing evil and thinking it's just not that bad. Beans every now and then are good for you. But if you have the choice, what are you going to take? Woo! Hello. Praise God. See, we've got to arm ourselves with the right mind frame. Hallelujah, of the life that we have in Jesus Christ compared to the death that we have in self-will. And when we choose self-will, we are choosing death. We are choosing destruction. We're not just choosing something that will thrill us for the moment. We are choosing something that is going to follow us in our children, in our friends, in our household, and in those that we meet. Because it will affect us just like that gentleman that went to the doctor and thought he had some type of disease because he couldn't sleep. It will affect us in our countenance. It will affect us in our attitudes. It will affect... Are you getting the picture? Destruction affects other people besides you. Jesus came bringing truth. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now we find the restoration of truth. We find the restoration of faith. Because truth has come, now there can be faith again. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Victory. Restoration. We have restoration. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is bringing life fresh and anew. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Life. Life. God's righteousness in us is life. Jesus came to bring that life in us. Hallelujah. This is the reality and the restoration. This is the life that Jesus Christ came to bring. We've got to be wise to the tactics of the enemy against our soul. And it makes no difference who you are. He is your enemy. And you can rest assured he's wise to you. He's wise to you. He knows where he can come and knock, and the door might be opened unto him. He knows that. He's wise unto you. What you've got to become is wiser unto him. And allow Jesus Christ to make you wise. Hallelujah. Give you that wisdom from above. In other words, let every thought of your conscious day be given to God. And allow God to work in and God to work through. Hallelujah. If you have any thoughts at all during the day, I don't know, maybe you have thoughtless days. Whoa, I've never had too many of those. Oh no, raised on a farm, I kind of give you a pedigree like Paul did. Raised on a farm, da-da-da-da, you know, never a moment that there wasn't something to do. You know, it's just whether or not you chose to do it or you chose to play. I mean, but there was never not anything to do. You were always doing something. If you weren't working, you were playing. I mean, you were always doing something. There was no idle time. I guess that was a blessing for me, because when I came into Christianity, then, you know, I knew that you didn't need to have idle time. I never had it. And so I just moved right over into Christianity. You just, something there to do, you do it. And there's always something to do, so you're always doing something. How many realize when you're always doing something, then you're not idle, are you? How many realize that when you leave your vehicle idle, your fuel economy goes zilch. It just pulls your fuel, even though it doesn't use a whole lot, yet it pulls your fuel economy down. Wow. How many realize if you just sit idle in your Christianity, it just pulls your spirituality down? Hey, if you got time, think on the pure things. Think on the holy things. Think on the righteous things. Allow God access to that wonderful created mind that he gave you to choose him. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ brought restoration to mankind, to where mankind could move right back into a oneness with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A walk with God. He provided this. How many realize with this pastor this morning, not everybody has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior that have heard the gospel? Not everybody has. How many will agree with this pastor again this morning? Not every Christian that has accepted Jesus Christ is actually walking in all the light they have. So it's not really any different than rejecting Jesus Christ and not even being saved than it is to be saved and not walking in all the light that you have. It's not right, is it? Because Jesus said, if you walk in the light as I'm in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. But you see, you got to look at the other side of that coin, that if I know about the light and I walk in darkness, then I'm not being cleansed from all that unrighteousness because I'm doing it. And if I'm doing it, I can't be cleansed from it. It's not an automatic thing. If we sin and we confess our sin, then he's just, but he's not just going to wash it away the minute I do it, like some believe. It don't work that way. But he treats us as sons and daughters, praise his holy name. I mean, you know, I didn't kick my son out of the house every time he messed up. Every time he didn't take out the trash, when he was told to take out the trash, I didn't put his bags out on the sidewalk or out on the front ground and say, all right, you're out of here, bud. Aren't you glad they didn't do that to you guys? Oh, no, we always took out the trash. Oh, well, yeah, I think I did. Praise God. Yeah, reality. You know, he just throw us out if we make a mistake. He kindly and tenderly asked us, are you sure that's what you really want to do? Or do you want to do right? Yeah. See, you ask Jason, you ask Lindsay what they dreaded most, whether it was the spanking or the lecture, the training in righteousness. And they'll unanimously say, I'd rather just had the spanking, got it over with, than have to have the lecture of reciting it all over to me again, because that made it all even worse. Because then they got the spanking too. Yeah. That's instructing, that's training your child in the way they should go. You tell them all about it. Let them know what God's word says about it. Use it for a time of training and teaching, and then you give them the consequences of their choice. It does deter. It's amazing. God's word works. It's amazing. Hallelujah. If only society in America could realize that fresh and anew, that God's ways are the right ways, and they do work in the lives of men and women. Hallelujah. Restoration, Galatians, and I'm closing here this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, very, very familiar portion of Scripture. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is what Adam and Eve had before the fall. This is how they lived their lives before the fall. They lived in love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and meekness and temperance. That's how they lived their lives as they walked with God, fellowshiped with God in the cool of the day. That's how they lived their lives until the thief came and he stole and he killed and brought destruction. You will find as you study history that chaos always followed the rejection of Jesus Christ. You find the destruction of the Roman Empire, that first world power to have the gospel preached to them. And they rejected. And they were destroyed. All through history, wherever Christ was rejected, destruction began to follow. First, denigration. Degradation. There we go. Evil, immorality, wickedness, corruptness in high places, all leading to self-destruction. All leading then also to the judgment of God. I guess society has forgotten so quickly the judgment that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. They have forgotten that. No, they haven't forgotten it. They don't want to retain that in their knowledge. That's why they're in the shape they're in. But there needs to be somebody preaching it, teaching it and living it so they can have a glimmer of hope right before fire falls again. Because judgment is coming, and it's coming to America, church. It's coming to America. You can't forget God and not retain God in your knowledge. You know what that means? That means taking God out of your schools. You don't want to retain God in your knowledge. That means you don't put God in your curriculum. Then judgment's going to fall. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but forgetting God brings immorality in what we have in America. Wickedness in high places. Jesus Christ came to restore that walk with him. John 4 and 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Living water. Life. John 7 and 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost is the living water. The Holy Ghost is the giver of life. He's the one that brings it to pass in my life as I learn to walk with him. As I learn. Is learning an easy process? All the time. I get, it's humorous. And you, as you work in a school, as you find students who turn around and look at you and say, oh, man, this is so easy. This is easy as can be. I said, great. Wonderful. I'm glad it's easy for you. I said, but just wait a few days. You won't be saying that story. Sure enough, now it goes beyond something they've already learned, and it's time to learn something new. Oh, I've never seen the likes of children that have a meltdown when it's something they've never done before. And it's like in their mind, I can never do this. Ever been like that in your Christianity? Go ahead, everybody raise your hand. Because that's exactly how it is. Because of our humanity, because of our self-consciousness, when God's calling us a step higher to somewhere we've never been before, our automatic response, oh, that's too hard. I'll never be able to do that. I can't get there. I can't do that in my life. Lord, you're just asking too much of me. I've been there. How about you? Whoa, act just like a little kid and throw a temper tantrum. That's really just what I just did. Because it wasn't what I thought I could do. But it was what God was asking me and calling me to do through the grace and the truth and the power that he's provided. Wow. And you know the rest of the story. The moment you show them how to do that work, ah, this is easy. That's exactly how it is. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, how I fought, how I wrestled, how I, doubted, just all the warfare, trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you realize, wow, I could have had this a year and a half ago if I would have known. I know after I've been filled. Oh, yeah, sometimes that battle to get filled with the Spirit of God is one of the fiercest battles you will ever fight in your entire Christian life. You want to know why? Because when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you have just tapped into a walk with God the devil doesn't want you to have. Because now you have even greater access to the throne room of God, because the Spirit of God now dwells within you. You've learned how to surrender to him, and you've learned of the power that he can bring. Hallelujah. In the midst of your witnessing, in you living your life, You see, you shall receive power after that the Spirit of God has come upon you to be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. You got to understand with this pastor this morning, Jesus Christ told them that because he knew 100% they were going to need that power to overcome the thief. How many of you would have stood that day with Stephen as that angry host began to take off their coats, knowing full assured what that meant was coming? And as that angry host began to pick up to skip across the water, rocks about as big as your hand, if however big they were enough to pick up. Could you stood that day with Stephen and continued to preach? As that first rock hit your body, could you still be rejoicing in God and say, I see the heavens opened? And then could you immediately say, lay this not to their charge, as you were dying and pain, possibly pain, I don't know, God's got a way of just taking pain away sometimes. Just depends on whether you're doing it for him or doing it for yourself. And Stephen was doing it for him. He said, I see the heavens opened. Oh, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow. Could you have done that? Oh, man, I hope I don't have to. You may have to. You can't hope you ain't going to have to. You need to be prepared to. That's why Jesus told him, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Because Stephen before Pentecost, rest assured, he couldn't have done that. He didn't have the power. He didn't have the walk with God. He didn't have the God consciousness that he had then. Whew, hallelujah. You see, life is what Jesus Christ wants to bring us here this morning. Hallelujah. Life abiding inside of us, empowering us, strengthening us, encouraging us, keeping us pressing towards the high calling of our God. Hallelujah. We have to have that power to press. If we don't have that power, you're going to find you're not really pressing that hard. You just will take it or leave it. That child of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit of God, he ain't going to leave nothing. He's going to press. He's going to press. She's going to press. She's going to press. Hallelujah. And you want to know who's going to make it to heaven? The ones that are pressing. The ones that are pressing. The ones that are walking. The ones that are living. Hallelujah. Woo, praise our God. The ones that are striving, pressing towards the prize, the high calling of God, that want to run the race, that want to get up every morning, sanctify their life for God. Amen. Hallelujah. And be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart, ready to be used by the Master. Hallelujah. Is that how you live your day? Is that how you get up in the morning? Is that what you want out of life? Because that is the only life to be had that will be filled with the fulfillment of God's blessing upon it. Wow, hallelujah. You see, you can have the beans or you can have the steak. It's your choice. It's my choice. Choose life. Hallelujah. Choose that walk with God. Choose that discipline in life. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to throw this in here as I'm closing. You can be a very disciplined individual, but still not have life. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the Bill Gothard teachings. I mean, tremendous teachings, tremendous principles. As I begin to look at that and I begin to study after that, I begin to realize the Spirit of God began to show me there's something missing here. Life. In all those teachings, they were right. They were stern. They were disciplined. They were correct. But they were missing life. The Spirit of the Lord showed me that. And so I began to pull away from that. Offended a lot of folks. I said, it's good teaching. I said, but there's one thing missing that is desperately needed. That's life. The Spirit of God ruling and reigning, not just man disciplining his life and doing principles. It wasn't 2 years later, Bill Gothard come out and apologize and ask for forgiveness because he realized that his teaching created disciplined people but didn't produce life. No born-again experience. No infilling of the Holy Ghost. Just mankind rigidly walking according to the principles of the Word of God. That saves no one. Only life. Don't misunderstand me. Get the life. Now live it. According to the power of Christ. Now live it in fulfillment to Jesus Christ. Don't just expect because you're living the principles that you have life. Because the only place life comes from is from Jesus Christ. Not just following his principles. Choose life. Not just walking the principles, but walking with God. Hallelujah. You see, that is what the Pharisees were depending on. Their rigid adhering to the principles of God's laws. They died. Christ crucified, my source of life. Hallelujah. I guess I have insight. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? Because that's how I was living my life. I was living it according to the principles of Christianity that I had learned. And trust me, I learned a lot of great things. I learned how to say the right things to say. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, living in heaven. I learned all that. I actually went through a course, 6-month course, of every creed, every doctrine, every statement of faith. I had to quote it all. Before I could graduate the course. But you know what was missing? Life. Life. Christ at the center. Universe. Hallelujah. At the center of my heart. That's the knowledge of who he was. Not the reality of who he was. Not the cleansing of the heart. Not the cleansing of the mind. And in reality, after I met Jesus Christ and he washed my sins away and a new creature was created, I mean, he just spoke to my heart, said, take everything that you have learned in your previous religious encounter, wad it up and throw it in the trash. And now let me teach you my true ways. Anything that was right, well, I got to pick it back up out of the trash and put it in its place. But so much of it was wrong. And wrong is never right. And that's what you and I have to do. If you will, that's kind of what revival's all about. Sometimes we get ourselves kind of messed up in our thinking. I mean, we haven't left God, we haven't left the church, but our thinking isn't quite right. And revival is for that newness of mind, that newness of soul. Hallelujah. That refreshing power. Getting it all put back in the right place so it can go forward in the work of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me. Stand with me this morning.